Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Thank you. Let's lift our hands and give God praise from the depth of our hearts. Bless him. Oh, bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord, you are holy, and forever you are God. We bless you, Lord, you are holy,
and forever you are God.
We bless you, Lord,
you are holy,
holy,
and forever you are God.
We bless you,
Lord.
We give you praise, Father. We give you praise, Lord. Let your presence move with us in this meeting and speak that which is consistent with your burden for this moment. Please help us that nobody under the sound of my voice will vanish on the wayside.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Please be seated. God bless you. I want to talk to you the way I would have spoken to people people that I am aware of what God wants to do with your life. Is that okay? Amen. Okay. I'm going to teach, and it's going to be a brief one, but you will never forget it for a long time. Can I hear a big amen?
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
Just follow me, okay? Well, first and foremost, I want to celebrate the leaders. Help me celebrate the leaders. You've been fasting for how many days now? I know it's over 48 hours. Am I correct? Okay. And you've had stretch prayers. Am I correct? Tell your neighbor, you won't die. Tell your neighbor again, you can't die. Thank you, Jesus. So I've been given to speak on the subject, Built to Last. Built to Last. How many of us want to last? Amen. You want to last? Wave your hands. Are you sure? Awesome. And you want to learn how to last. Am I correct? Yeah. There was a time in Nigeria when phones came in. I think the first market that infiltrated the system should be Nokia. The days of Nokia, Sagem. You know, those times? Motorola and the likes. How many of you use Motorola Blade? Then we now start having another product that now a phone can, you can watch TV on a phone. How many of you know those phones? They call them China phones. Huh? But they are cheaper. Right? Do they still sell those China phones? They used to be cheaper. Then they used to be more colorful. Am I correct? They used to be cheaper. Am I correct? More colorful. But they don't last. If you buy one China phone, while the fellow who is using Nokia is still using that Nokia with touchlight, you have used 10 China phones. So colorfulness is not always longevity. It's not noise. It's not in noise, it's not in color. It is not in looks. Have you seen people that look so healthy? And you are seeing them today. And tomorrow you hear they are dead. A long life is not about look. It's not in looks. So turn your Bibles with me. Matthew chapter number 7. Alright, Matthew 7. Let's start the reading from verse 24. Matthew 7. Are you there? If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Alright. Therefore, whosoever heareth this saying of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Then how do you know a wise man? He builds his house on a rock. Verse 25. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 27. Okay, it's... And there, okay, 26 now, am I correct? 26, sorry. And everyone that heareth this saying of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Who is a foolish man? A foolish man is also a builder, a builds. And if you look at this scripture, the focus of the scripture is not about the nature of their house. Mm-mm. The focus of the scripture is not about the height of their house. Mm-mm. The focus of the scripture is not about the color of the house. Mm-mm. The focus of the scripture is not about the kind of paint, the kind of tiles. Mm-mm. The focus of the scripture is where they built. That's the focus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where they built. Not just... As I stood there, the Lord opened my eyes. So I want to avoid it and not say it. But I'm not being permitted. There's somebody seated here. Let's pretend that the person is not here. But there's an ongoing conversation on your phone. And the conversation is that once you have left this place, there's a guy you want to spend a brief time with. Doesn't matter the length of fasting, you are here. So, God says I should warn you. In case you don't believe in the warning, let me give you an example. Last year, December, I called one of my boys while I was praying. I said, where are you? He said, he's at so-and-so place. I said, the Lord said to tell you, Eti Emelo, draw your 2 years around. But he said he wanted to sleep over. So, he's a father now. And it's one night. So let's assume that I'm not a prophet. I'm lying. Because this person, the devil wants you to continue a pattern. And the way Jesus told Peter that the devil has desired you, he said, but I prayed for you. Now this is mercy speaking. Mercy speaks, but judgment is quiet. Judgment is when you begin to get into certain things and God no longer bother revealing it. It means he has handed you over to time for what will happen with time to happen to you. So I won't ask you to come out. I'm just saying repent. But let's pretend that the person is not here. Let's shout hallelujah. So the person is not here. God must be lying. Let me give you 2 more examples. There are examples to show for every of these things. 2010. That should be around March. I was preaching somewhere. And the Lord said, there's a guy here, born so and so year, so and so month. In so and so year, you went and sleep with a girl, so and so name of hotel, in so and so state. Is that accurate enough? Talk to me. Don't be afraid. Is that accurate enough?
Yes. Yeah.
And the Lord went further to say, right now as I speak, you are wearing red boxers. This is a process that has not stopped in your life since that happened. God wants to deliver you. Come out. He didn't come out. After the meeting, he ran to meet me. That he was shy. And I had to be honest with him that the grace available for me to pray for him then is no longer available. He died. And the rain descended and the flood. So both those who are building well and those who are not building well, both rain and floods will come. It's going to check you. But look up. When you read this scripture, what you always think is that wrong situation will check them out. It's not true. That's not what it means. That maybe a time is going to come, things will be tough. Then to check the quality of the material. No. The rain will come. Rain is a good thing. It is flood that we should be a bit skeptical about. So it means both those who are building well and those who are not will have both good days and bad days. And the first one that will come is the rain. Somebody say the rain. Isaiah 55 from verse 10. Isaiah 55, 10. I ought to teach, and because the burden I came with is for ministers. If those of you who perceive that you have a calling to ministry, if your hunger is indeed strong, to the degree that you respect that calling, then you will receive things that will take maybe 10 years strength in one meeting. Do you get what I'm saying? But if you abandon yourself, I'm just going to minister generally, and you will still be blessed. Anyhow it is, you will be very blessed. But I would prefer that some of you will channel your hunger because you are not doing so. But if you draw, then you have no idea what you can learn. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, how many of you are called to ministry again? It doesn't mean you are running the ministry, but you know this. This is God's purpose for your life. Wave those hands. Okay. Are you sure? Sit down. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, so the rain is a good thing. It comes from heaven. The rain is a good thing. And returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, yes, that it may what? Give seed. So, alright, no, go back to. Okay, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. No, you've jumped something. Go back to verse 10. That watereth the earth, yes, something is not complete. Just go to verse 11. It's not a complete scripture. Aha. And maketh it bring forth and board, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Yes. So shall my what? What be? That goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return back to me void. So it means when rain fall, it gives seed and bread. That's what happens. Say it again. Rain brings seed and bread. So it means that both the one who is not building well and the one who is building well, a season will come, both of them will have bread. So if you are a rebellious person and you want to use money as a proof that God is happy with you, then you will have it even as a foolish person. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand. There are people who are not walking in the light of scriptures. They are rebellious. But they want to prove to their pastor that, see, look at me now. God is blessing us too. Yes. Both the foolish and the wise will have rain. And if they have rain, they will have bread. There will be plenty. These are signs of God's benevolence, not a sign of your uprightness. Do you understand what I'm saying? Meaning that, see, rain is a gift of heaven. I don't want to call it a gift of nature, because it is the wisdom of God that upholds nature. So it means both the wise and the foolish will have gifts. What are gifts? Prophecy, word of wisdom, working of miracles, healings. Do you understand what I'm saying? They will have it. So it means a pastor can finish lying, and when he opens his mouth, there's rain. There's rhema. He can say there's somebody here, there's somebody there. Because it is what? Rain. Do you understand? Yeah. So rain is not a proof that God is happy with you. Even in Boko Haram camps, they have rain. True or not true? True or not true? Those of you who believe you are called to ministry, stand up. Okay. Let me have 5 men. Come. Sit here. I want to do some. Bring your Bible and everything. One more person. Okay, my friend, come. Sit here. Okay, let me have my friend in white. Sit here. The rest, let's be seated. There's a reason I'm doing what I'm doing. And I believe before you brought me, you know who you are bringing. So you don't feel this man is just strange. Because I don't go out to make people happy. That's not my calling. Are you following what I'm saying? I put you here with the assumption that you are taking your calling serious. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that true? How hungry are you? Eh? My friend. How hungry are you? Very hungry. And you? Eh? Come. Desperately hungry. What I have come with is for those who are called to ministry. But that doesn't mean if you are not called. Sometimes you are called, you don't just know it yet. Do you get what I'm saying? The same way you can like a girl in church, you know it, but the girl doesn't know. But in your mind, you have married the girl. There are many people who are called. And in God's mind, they will be somewhere in the next future, but they are not aware yet. But you will soon be aware. Please listen. I want you to listen to me. Rain is not a sign that you are wise or foolish. It is a sign that God is God. So let's go back to that scripture, because I said I want to teach. That Matthew 7. So both the good and the bad will have rain. There will be rain. Amen. Now, there are many people who want, oh God, use me too. I want my face to be on different flyers. I want people to be calling me for different meetings so I can be a blessing. You are asking for rain. You are asking for, I want, Lord, give me power. And when I stretch my hands, people will fall down. What are you asking for? Rain. It's okay. What you need to know is that rain will naturally fall. It will. Let me tell you something. For instance, there are two words in scriptures used to describe the word time. The first word used to describe the word time is the word chronos. That's where we get the word chronicles from. Chronos. It's calendar time. But there's another word used to describe the word time. Is the word kairos. That's the word kairos. That's calendar time. Kairos means an appointed time. Reboot, good to see you. Let me celebrate her. It's my daughter. I respect her. She's very heavy in my hands. So when she spoke to me, I have one of my boys also in the UK who both of them spoke to me. I celebrate you. She can't ask for something from me twice. That's how much I hold her in IST. So kairos is an appointed time. Let me look up. How many of you have seen a case happen that somebody just by himself decide to leave the house and the fellow stepping out of the house? Do you get what I'm saying? Just stepping out. Just to cross the road, a car came and cleared the person. The car that will clear the person has been marked. That somebody will die has been marked. The car that will match the person is X. That's a variable. And sometimes it is not X, it is K, it's a constant. This fellow is marked. The fellow that will die is X. It's always X. But you always, when you do math, you find the X. The X will be somebody who is not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because there's a bad kairos. And it will take, do you understand what I'm saying? There's something that is about to happen. The car that will mark the person is marked. The time that the car will pass is marked. Who will pass? Are you feeling what I'm saying? It takes somebody who has said no to the Holy Spirit to fulfill that. So there's nothing like a sudden event. They are pre-planned. The spirit realm is much organized than an unforeseen circumstances. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's a kairos moment. that why is it that the exact time this car brake will fail, a small child will pass? It's a planned time. That's a Kairos moment. Do you understand what I'm saying? Kairos moment also describes seasons. That, listen, even while you might be under a teaching, there are Kairos moments that certain graces are available for you to tap into. What will make you enter is that, one, you can discern it. And number two, you know what to do. Those are Kairos moments. I'm taking you somewhere. When they say your time is coming, your time is coming, your time is coming, the truth of the matter is that whether you prepare or not, your time will come. The question is not whether your time will come or not, because it's an appointed time. Do you understand what I'm saying? The question is whether you will meet the appointment. Let me describe what I'm saying again. In other words, they are telling the girl in the house, be trained, have home training, be wise. See, you girl. Say, I'm rude, I'm this. There's an appointed time for the girl to get married. Do you get what I'm saying? Just like a car that the brake has failed. Who she will marry is ex. It will take a guy who has said no to God. He will fill in the gap. And the guy will say, I hear God. Meanwhile, he was looking at the bomb bomb. Do you understand what I'm saying? So your time will come. Oh God, give me power, manifest me. See, whether you will last or not, a time will come, you will have the power. It's not the question. What is God doing with power in heaven? Or the power to be healed? What's God doing with it? He wants to give up for his souls. There's no need for the gifts of healing in heaven. Nobody is sick. There's no need for working of miracles in heaven. Nobody needs miracle. Miracle is what you need when you are not walking in the light. You will need a miracle because something is already wrong. Do you get what I'm saying? What God wants you to walk in is the light of his word. You will never need a miracle. I'm feeling what I'm saying is too advanced. Because I don't like to teach and then you don't understand. I like simplicity. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Oh God, give me power. Your time will what? Come. And that power, you will have it. But whether and by the way, the power will last. And most times, the power outlasts the carrier. Do you get what I'm saying? So whether the fellow who is wielding it will now last is a different question. But that the power will come is, and that's why I tell people, anointing is not a sign you are right with God. It's a sign there was a time you were right. It's not a sign that you are potent. So we must raise a generation that can discern the difference between presence and charisma. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you are not jotting. You have a pencil. Is it a biro? It's a pencil. That's the weight of your calling. My friend, I love you. Well done. Do you understand that? This is the way I would have corrected my own people. So, I assume you will not be offended. Good. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me give you an instance of what I'm saying. Are you in a relationship? Where is the pastor? Man of God, you were the one that brought me. Are you in a relationship? Oh, come. Is she here? Are they aware? I don't want to. They are not aware. Let's leave it. Wherever you are, we cover you with the blood of Jesus. But it's good that you are aware, so you don't go and have vision about your pastor's wife. We'll deal with you if you do that. Is that okay? That's a joke. Okay, you are married. You are a married man. Please come. There was a time you saw her and you knew that this is the girl. You went after her for a while. You send her text message. It may take a while to reply. She will reply with one word, hi. Right? because you were pursuing. And finally you drop your manifesto. And the time came, she said yes. And from the moment she said yes, you notice that the things you are the one that used to pursue her to do, now she's the one doing them. She will call you in the morning, how are you doing? If she has not heard your voice in the day, she said, I've not heard your voice. That's the way it is with God. Well, the problem is that many of you are pursuing him in the days you were small in your own eyes. But just when you find a little of his power, you serve him breakfast. Then God starts saying, my son, it's been 2 weeks, not even hello. What did he give you? Rain. Anointing. Money. Fame. It's rain. Please be seated. We can stay all year on this subject. Do you get what I'm saying? It is amazing how that works. I went for a meeting in Epoma. A girl, she wanted to tap power. She flew from where she, seated at the minister's seat. And then she flew on my head and then injured my palm. Gave me an internal injury. Thank God they were able to quickly, because just twisted my head. I looked at her. They were holding her. I want to touch. What does she want to tap? Power. Meanwhile, the same God who placed that power on those people, you have him with you 24 hours. He won't say hello. Oh, I wish I can meet Pastor Iyi Adeboye and let him just lay his hand. What makes him what he is because God place his hands on him. You have the same ingredient, but your soup is still bad. It is hypocrisy to want power and not a prayer life. It shows you are a lie. You are a lie. The real secret is in intimacy. Are you following what I'm saying? And you were the one pursuing, oh God, give me power. But now it is God saying, when was the last time it was just the both of us? When was the last time you sang? When just I am your audience? That's the reason why many of our worship leaders in churches have become national anthem singers. Once they pick a song, you know the next one. Why? They are never fresh. They are stale meat. Kosi misi. Are you following what I'm saying? Let somebody who is dead spiritually pick a song. But let somebody who knows God sing that with calmness. God will always show up to say, I know this one. And that you boast about God does not put him under pressure to manifest you. He doesn't know you. He doesn't. I heard that statement from a friend of mine and it touched my heart. So people are trying to use rain as a proof that they know God. Meanwhile, what rain is to check is that you are ready for floods. Listen, when people are crying for a revival, the first thing God releases is rain. Rain. Give them power. Fame. They are calling you everywhere. Come and bless us in so-and-so school. Come and bless us at so campus. And you tell your friends, don't call me pastor again. From today, I'm an apostle. What are you basking in? Wait, meanwhile, I'm not saying apostolic ministry is wrong. Don't get me wrong. But that's a title. Are you following what I'm saying? I go by. Well, you will observe if you follow our ministry that I didn't call myself so. I was ordained so. Because now we have a generation of young ministers who have no fathers. Or who choose father based on size of church. Or based on popularity. They will not be humble. I make bold to tell you in this meeting, the revival we are celebrating in Nigeria, it is still rain, but the flood is coming. Nigeria, the flood is coming. And it will check the foundation of the works. Because in this scripture, what was outlined to check the man out is just a rain and flood. But it's not just those two. The final check is the test of fire. Okay, please be seated. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can you help me search out that article I sent? You know that article? About MS Saturday. I think I saw it at a Bailey's store. Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to read out a very serious stat. So that by the time you leave this meeting, your prayer will not just be, God, let rain fall, give me power. Mm-mm. Rain will come. Your prayer will be, build me to last. Abarai Shilda Nibiti Jesu Benjava Abarai Shilda Kosio. Amen. Okay, hold it. I'll call you when the time comes. Let me quickly pray for you. Alright? Because Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, the devil has desired you that he may sift you like wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you. He said, but when you become strong, strengthen your fellows. And while the same Jesus was eating with disciples, and he said, one amongst you will betray me. And the Bible says, John, the one who placed his head on his chest, asked him, who is it? And Jesus said, the one to whom when I dig this bread into the soup, I place in his mouth, the same will be the one that will betray me. And Jesus did so, put it in his mouth. And the same Jesus who prayed for Peter now told Judas that which you want to do, do it quickly. You're already in trouble when the same thing God is rebuking others on is quiet about it in your life. Don't call it grace. It's judgment. He said, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Is there anyone here that wants to say, God, it's like you've been quiet about my matter. Trouble me. Do you like to pray the prayer? You have 100% permission. Listen, not to make anything covered about my life. Will you pray that prayer?
Yes, sir.
Can I give you a minute?
Yes, sir.
Now, cry to God. Now. Let the light of your glory overflow. Father, don't be quiet. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm surprised many of you are young people, but you are seated. It must be that you are made, though. I mean, that kind of... When Jesus... Listen. Each time Jesus spoke about his death, he also spoke about his resurrection. Are you following what I'm saying? Because when a man dies, it will take what he has activated to revive him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Pray, because flood is coming. And in the days of flood, people are busy with their problems. But prayer is like money you invest in a bank. In the days that others are stranded, there's something to spend. Father, don't keep quiet about my matter. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Hey. In Jesus. Mighty name we are praying. You are not praying well, but sit down. If you... Once you see the need to pray, break out and pray. Is that okay? Don't wait for me to give you a prayer point. Once you see the one that concerns your life and destiny, pray. I am excited about the move of God in Nigeria. But this is still rain. A flood is coming. Look up. Let's reduce the keyboard. If you want, let this one humble you. When the eyes of God open over a territory, it's not just church that prosper. Even unbelievers prosper. So it is not just the church in Nigeria that is booming. More than ever before, Afrobeat is accepted all over the world. It is just to announce that there is a season here that the eyes of God over this continent, Africa, is opened. Africa is the final continent that will carry the cross. Africa is the last that will become the first. Jesus, on his way to the cross, when the cross became too heavy, they forced a black man from Cyrene to carry the cross. It's a prophecy that when all other nations have left Christ, Africa will then carry that cross till he comes. And this is just the beginning. We have not even gotten anywhere into it. Just the beginning. But just like every other move, many of those who start it don't see the end. It is one thing to start a move. It's another thing to survive the move. In case you don't know, revival is to be survived. Revival is a bad news until men are trained and prepared for it. It's a massive water. It carries men away. Even generals die in revivals. Go and read God's generals. Many of them would have lived longer. Except that, do you get what I'm saying? Sorry if you don't understand. So the devil is not threatened by revival. Don't get that wrong. But he likes it when you enter ill-equipped. He likes it when you enter unprepared, because he knows that now the anointing will magnify both the weakness and the strength. In fact, the devil, when he knows you are not prepared, he joins you to pray for revival. Because he knows that your fall is going to have greater economic value to his kingdom. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, check this. If you want to play, check this. Go and list out men of God of old who carried this mantle till their old age and left well. Write out the common factors. Then understand that they are your caucus. What are the common factors you see? Prayer. Fasting. Study of the word. These are simple things. Holiness. Not this one that you are misbehaving and say, it's my body, it's not my spirit. Holiness. Because the danger of walking in morality with heavy anointing is that the devil will not attack you at the level of your strength. He will attack you at the level of your threats that you pose to him. So when you carry heavy artillery but you are weak, they will launch you down. None of you will be weak. I'm just feeling that this message is not for you because it feels like I'm talking to just a few people. What happens when rain is falling? Children are happy, but the elders preserve the water. Revival. But those who know history don't get impressed on time. They preserve it. Because just after the rain comes silence, dryness. When there's rain, anybody can claim to be a good gardener because it is God who is watering it. Right now, you don't even have to be a good pastor to have good members, because there are many voices in the body of Christ that can be training them. But that's rain. Just after that leaves, the question is now, who has water? And let me say this to you. Let's stop this nonsense. The real size of men is not the size of their popularity or the size of their ministry. Forget all those nonsense. There are people you don't know but are dangerously powerful. In fact, if you want to weigh the size of a man, check the size of his enemy and not the size of his friends. Children are happy. Rain. And they forget to conserve water. Tell your neighbor, keep water. Because you can't drink flood water, it is poisonous. When flood comes, it carries dead things, both good and bad, mix them, toilet water and everything. So you will need rain water even in days of flood. That's why you can see, sometimes you hear of stories of men that probably went adrift, their boat was stranded in the middle of the sea. And you see here that people right in the middle of the sea die of thirst. Because the water may be abundant, but it's not drinkable. So tell your neighbor again, keep water. Say, drink, for the journey is far. Drink, for the journey is far. Drink, oh. All these things we are teaching you, drink. The reason you have to drink is because life will naturally happen to you. Do you get what I'm saying? You will get married. You will have children. So you'll be busy. Economy is speaking, you need to. But you can't tell you about jail. In other words, what the birds eat is what they'll fly with. So to fly for long, eat well. Eat well. Many people, their prayer life ended just when they said, yes, I do. No more prayers. They've married somebody who took them from the commonwealth of faith. And there are many people in church who are pursuing God until money comes. Do you get what I'm saying? How much? 1 million. 1 billion. I will now do this, I will do that. Is that your lifetime settlement? Drink water. Let me read this. Then I'm going to bring this to an end. Maybe this is going to help you. I'm going to read just statistics I saw. So everything I'm going to be reading is what the author wrote. So listen. What did I say? If you really care that you have a calling, listen. Now, he said, when you see young men and women on fire for God, don't be majorly concerned with how to get to know them, follow them, gain from them, or praise them. Say, pray for them with all your heart. And when you have done so, pray some more. Now, look at these stories. Billy Graham wasn't the only young minister packing auditoriums in 1945. Chuck Templeton and Brown Clifford were accomplishing the same thing and more. All three young men were in their mid-20s. That's 1945. One seminary president, after hearing Chuck Templeton preach one evening to an audience of thousands, called him the most gifted and talented young man in America today for that preaching. Templeton and Graham were friends. Both ministered for Youth for Christ. Both were extraordinary preachers. Yet in those early days, most observers would probably have put their money on Templeton. As a matter of fact, in 1946, the National Association of Evangelicals published an article on men who were the best use of God in that organization's 5 years existence. The article highlighted the ministry of Chuck Templeton. Billy Graham was never mentioned. Templeton, many felt, will be the next Babe Ruth of evangelism. Brown Clifford was yet another gifted 25-year-old fireball. In 1945, many believed Clifford was the most gifted and powerful preacher the church had ever seen in centuries. In the same year, Clifford preached to an auditorium of thousands in Miami. People lined up 10 and 12 feet deep outside the auditorium trying to get in. Later that same year, when Clifford was preaching in the chapel at Baylor University, the president ordered the class bell turn off so that the young man could minister without interruption to the student body. For 2 hours and 15 minutes, he kept those students on the edge of their seats as he preached on the subject Christ and the Philosopher's Stone. Graham, Templeton, and Clifford. In 1945, all three came shooting out of the starting blocks like rockets. You have heard of Billy Graham, so how come you've never heard of Chuck Templeton or Brown Clifford? Especially when they came out of the chutes so strong in 45. Just 5 years later, Chuck Templeton left ministry to pursue a career as a radio and television commentator and newspaper columnist. Templeton had decided he was no longer a believer in Christ. In the orthodox sense of the term, by 1950, this future Babe Ruth wasn't even in the game and no longer believed in the validity of the claims of Jesus Christ. What about Clifford? In 1954, Clifford had lost his family, his ministry, his health, then his life. Alcoholism and financial irresponsibility had done him in. He wound up leaving his wife and their two sons, two Down syndrome children, at just 35 years of age. This once great preacher died from cirrhosis of the liver in a rundown motel at the edge of Amarillo. His last job was selling used cars in Texas. He died, as John Hagee put it, unwept, unhonored, and unsung. Some of the pastors in Amarillo took up a collection among themselves in order to purchase a casket so that his body could be shipped back to the East for decent burial in a cemetery for the poor. In 1945, three young men with extraordinary gifts were preaching the gospel to multiply thousands across the nation. Within 10 years, only one of them was still on track for Christ. One day, a Christian author named Lee Strobel spent time interviewing Charles Templeton for a book he was writing called A Case for Faith during the course of their conversion. Templeton vigorously defended his unbelief of God and his rejection for the Bible. He was adamant that it was a mistake. He renounced his faith. Then Strobel directed Templeton's attention to Christ. Templeton was an old man with Alzheimer's disease and knew his life was in his final stage. Strobel asked, now this was years later, Strobel asked, how will he now assess Jesus at this stage of his life? Strobel said that amazingly Templeton's body language softened and his voice took on a melancholy and reflective tone. And then incredibly he said, he was the greatest human being who ever lived. He was a moral genius, an ethical sense. His ethical sense was unique. He was the intrinsically wisest person I've ever encountered in my life, or reading, or in my reading. His comment was totally different. His commitment, was total and led to his own death. And this was what. The interview continued, and Strobel said in a quiet voice, you sound like you really care about him. Well, yes. Templeton acknowledged, it's the most important thing in my life. He stammered. I adore him. Everything good I know, and everything decent I know. Everything pure I know, I learned from Jesus. Strobel was stunned. He listens in shock. He said that Templeton's voice began to crack. Then he said, I miss him. With that, the old man burst in tears. With shaking frame, he wept bitterly. Finally, Templeton gained control of his emotions and wiped away his tears and said, enough of that. Let me leave it here. When you come shooting out like a tornado, everybody call you a superstar. Let me give you three leading reasons why many don't finish well. Three. I'm a student of history. I can tell you I've checked these three. Number one, sin. What happens is that the devil doesn't mind you crying for the anointing. He just wants to be busy with him too. Sin. Many young preachers are battling with immorality. And it starts from viewing something on your phone before you can have confidence to touch a guest's breast. Some of you want the anointing, but you are nursing a baby lion. It will grow in just a matter of time and it will tear you. The second one, which this generation has despised, is lack of spiritual fathers. David numbered Israel, but David survived. They were the ones that died. Those who are modeling this to you may survive it. Because maybe they've gone some extent, but you may not. There must be a voice you can hear that can make you stop the nonsense you are doing and turn back. Ma son, be ajatu ba gbo fere Olode. Myself and my wife got married. I gave her, say, this is my spiritual father, you know him. Say yes. These are two other mentors I have, you know them. Said yes. This is their contact. Any day you feel this is no longer the man you married, call them. You don't have my permission. You don't need my permission. Call them and report me. I said, you know, I have many people that were friends. Say yes. Say, but these three, the day you ever feel this man, you get what I'm saying? The moment you choose a life that nobody can say, sit down, you say they are envious of you. Stop preaching, they are jealous. You need treatment. Go and sit down. Don't mind them. You are about to get missing. Nobody disappears in a day. It is gradual. What was the first one I told you? Sin. Second one is a very serious matter. And I am begging people, I'm afraid that we might see the greatest casualty in history in this generation. Unless there is emergency repair. Even Bishop Oyedepo, with all that God has, you see him go on his knees and his father will place hands on his head. Who places hand on your head? But every minister you see, you despise your pastors. You now go around after every minister. Please just say what? The money you are not giving your pastor, you want to sow to guest ministers. You are a liar. Do you understand what I'm saying? I have medical background. We need those who know your spiritual history. Don't just go around and meet a pastor. Sir, I am going to the... It didn't start now. Your pastor knows what you've been doing. Go and report to that same pastor. Accountability is not cutting corners. Just tell just a man of God. You are a liar. Tell those who know your past. Because they will diagnose your moment as what they know too. He will give information as if he's just starting. He didn't just start. I've given you how many? Shall I give you the third one?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Coldness. Spiritual coldness. No fire on the altar. People preach themselves to their early grave. Coldness. It is true you can give what you don't have, at least what you no longer have. It is true. In ministry you can. You can teach prayer that you don't have, that you don't have the lifestyle. So you must pray that I will not end up becoming a liar who is trying to take people to a journey I'm not on. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen. When you see people fall from the top, what made them fall did not jump up. It went up with them. So the question is, what is going up with you now? They are better dead now. Do you get what I'm saying? See, when you say they will live with time, it's not true, it's a lie. They don't live with time. They live when you become tired and desperate and say, God, free me. They live. You get what I'm saying? If I ask you to pray, will you pray?
Yes, sir.
You didn't answer like one who is interested.
Yes, sir.
If I ask you to pray, will you pray?
Yes, sir.
Every seed that the devil has planted in me to ensure I don't last, I renounce them. I renounce them. I renounce them. Look at the way you are praying. This is the best time for you to pray. It is good that a man bears yokes in the days of his youth. Oh Lord, help me. Help me. Oh Jesus. Oh Father, my God. Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we're praying. Let me round up. Since for some of you there's a burden to channel that burden. God. Whatever it will take. Whatever it will take. Don't let me go as others have gone. Like you spoke concerning Peter. Jesus, reach out your hands and rescue me. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Sit down for a moment. I went to spend one of the holidays on campus with one of my friends or my coursemate. So when I got to their house, following morning I woke up, I had prayer walk, which I still do till now. And as I moved around that vicinity, I observed that all the people that are about his age mates already have 2 children, they've been out of wedlock. I was interested in asking questions. So I called him. I said, how did you escape this? Because these are your mates. He said, I didn't try to escape it all. He said, it was just that after secondary school, I was busy learning keyboard. So he didn't know that just while he was busy, some were also busy doing other things. Nobody breaks pattern by trying to break pattern. Just be busy with Jesus. By the time you are busy with him, before you come, those people have already made their mistakes. Do you get what I'm saying? David says in Psalms 42 from verse 1, said, as the deer pant after the water brook, so pant my soul after you. As I leave this place, don't forget 2 things, but I only taught on one. Maybe another time, I'll teach on the other. What are the 2 things that will come to check your structure? The rain and the rain is a good thing. It just matter who is receiving it. But there's also the flood. All right? That's another case. But I want you to pray that Jesus, hide me in yourself. Wait. Will you pray that prayer?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes,
sir. Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Will you pray it?
Yes, sir.
Hide me. Hide me yourself. Hide me. In Jesus' name we're praying. Whether you want to lift your hands, any posture you want to take, I want to say a word of prayer. Father, I ask that in the next 20, 30, 40 years, when we are counting men who survived, your name will not be missing.
Amen.
You will be standing tall.
Amen.
You will not vanish on the way like smoke.
Amen.
I pray for you. The enemy will not exhaust your strength.
Amen.
God will keep you.
Amen.
And he will preserve you.
Amen.
It is done.
Amen.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.